Hi, I'm Dave Jackson. Welcome to JPR Live Sessions, where we get to chat with artists we admire and hear one-of-a-kind studio performances. JPR Live Sessions are made possible with support from the Talent Club. You can find their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. Joining me today is a Nashville-based singer-songwriter, Mindy Smith. Her last album, Quiet Town, came out last year, and it was her first release in about 12 years, and she's joining us on her West Coast tour. Mindy, welcome to JPR. Thanks for coming in.
Well, hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
And congratulations on Quiet Town. We were playing it after it came out last year. Great stuff on there.
Thank you so much.
And you released that after a long pause between albums. Was that a conscious decision you made, or how did that come about?
You know, I don't know that it was a conscious decision as much as it was having the resources, meaning the songs I wanted to put out or share, and then just finding other things that I was interested in doing in between, which was a lot of, you know, what we call sync writing and a couple of their solo, you know, projects that we just kind of released, you know, singles and whatnot. So it just became apparent that I was ready to put a collection of songs out as just me, the artist. And so finally was able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And part of what you were doing that time, you recorded with Kenny Chesney, had a pretty decent hit with A Better Boat.
Nah, thanks to him, he was so sweet to ask me to do that. Yeah. I mean, yes.
And then you had a single in 2023 in Little Wings, right? That's the tune?
Yes.
And after that, you sort of when you decided it was time to make Quiet Town, is that what?
Well, the funny thing is, the true story to that is actually I wrote Little Wings, and that was the song that I had written that made me want to make an album. Little Wings was meant to be on this album. Mm. And sometimes when you're doing a sequence, when you've recorded all the songs, a song just doesn't play well with the others, but it tells the story. In a sense, it summed up the whole record before, you know. So it was sort of like redundant to have that song on there. But so we decided, you know, it was nice to have something just to share with people ahead of the game. Yeah.
I'm talking with Mindy Smith. She's my guest today in a JPR Live session. Let's hear a song. What do you want to play?
I guess I'll play a song called Jericho. It's a little heavy-handed, but we'll.
Good.
I wrote this song with Matresa Berg, the legendary songwriter Matresa Berg. Going down to Jericho. Time gospel on the radio. Bones and signs on the desert road shoulder. Raising up hell like a holy roller. Rolling down to Jericho. Jordan River, the Rio Grande. Pilgrims searching for the promised land. Rising shimmers like a fever dream. Red tail hawks and angels' wings. We're all going down to Jericho. Lift the sky, shake the ground. Break the silence with a mighty sound. Love is calling seven times around. Will I save my skin? Will I save my soul? Children crying, mama's calling. Joshua's coming with a wrecking ball. He's coming down to Jericho. Seven
going down to Jericho. Old time gospel on the radio. I saw the signs on the desert road shoulder, raising up hell like a holy roller.
That's Jericho. It's Mindy Smith in a JPR Live session. You can find more about her at her website, mindysmith.com. And you're on the socials too?
I am. I'm mindysmithmusic.com. Uh-huh. And then Mindy Smith Music is consistent across all my socials. So okay. I've got the Instagrams, I've got the TikTok, which is a newer one for me, uh-huh. and the Facebooks and all that stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us a little about Jericho.
Yeah, I wrote that with Matresa, and we said it was a dream come true to write with Matresa Berg.
Yeah.
Just because I reached out to her, and we had kind of gone back and forth and said, oh, yeah, let's do that. And finally, you know, we were able to make it happen. And she's such a master of creating a visual picture. And so just being sort of in the room with her was really cool. I guess we were just kind of looking around the room, you know, about what's been going on, and decided, you know, there was something to be said about maybe the love thing could work a little bit better than some other things. And I try to stay open with how things are taken in, but you know, every now and then I have to say something about what's going on. So that's what that is. Yeah.
It was my favorite song off that album. So
thank you.
And you grew up in New York. You were adopted. Was music part of your growing up when you were?
It was.
York? Yeah.
It was a big part of us growing up. And my mother and both my parents sang quite a bit. My mother was actually a trained vocalist and had a degree in music, and went ahead and put that her focus in the ministry with my father, and together they you know, sort of had a great rapport with people. Mom could, you know, heal the soul with music, and so I had a really cool front row seat. And how what the value and importance is of being honest when you sing, and she was amazing. She's passed away, but she was probably my biggest influence, if not yes, most definitely.
So you grew up. Your dad was a minister. Your mom was in the church as well. How did that kind of background work into the songs that you write?
I think it's always in the sort of peripheral of, you know, my trying to figure out the world around me. I think, you know, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know many of us who do and don't necessarily believe people when they say they do, you know, but I think it just gives me room to go, okay, you know, this experience has presented a different idea of what, you know, spirituality can be, and it may be a little out of the box of what I thought, you know, or was raised, you know, thinking. But again, it's sort of my approach to when I'm having a hard day or not having a hard day or having a great day, just try to figure out, okay, how does this sort of all fit together? And then sometimes I'm just like really just not feeling it and I need to write about it.
And then later you met your biological family. Tell us about what prompted that and how that turned out for you.
Well, there was this little network called MySpace. Remember MySpace?
Oh, yeah.
I had done my first song that had ever actually been released was with a lady named Dolly Parton.
Yeah, that you have I call that one of the best origin stories in music. But
I am very, very pleased with that one and myself, thankful for it. And so she kindly agreed to do a video, which back in the day when these video networks actually played videos, it made its way around some of those channels. And I guess sitting back with my biological mother, she saw my biological, that's your sister. And so she reached out to me on MySpace.
Wow.
And so that, you know, long story short, that sort of started a ball rolling of like, okay, this is really cool. And about 10 some odd years later, I finally had the courage to go and meet them. And it wasn't just about courage. It was about, you know, I mean, I'm really thankful for the family I was raised with and the timing needed to be right and all the aspects. And so I'm really thankful I did. Because my biological mother actually passed away 18 months after that, so I would have run out of time.
Yeah, well, that's, and that, do you realize then that it kind of got you into the country music, Americana scene that way? Is that?
It's funny because I grew up listening to, like, you know, basically, you know, the pop stuff that they played in Long Island, which was like Cyndi Lauper and, you know, Sting and the Police and all that stuff. And then The Cure, I evolved into The Cure and the Sundays later on. But then when I moved to Knoxville, I actually discovered John Prine and Nancy Griffith and then Patty Griffin and Sean Colvin. The list goes on and on.
Right.
And was really drawn to it. So finding out that my biological family is actually from the Blue Ridge and Appalachian Mountains, it just kind of felt like, okay, I was destined to, you know, be drawn to write this kind of music. It wasn't intentional. It's just how it happened. And so I think I have it in my blood, if you will.
Uh-huh. Cool. Well, let's hear another song. What do you want to play?
I thought I'd play a song I wrote with a legendary songwriter named John Scott Sherrill back in the day. He's one of my first co-writes. And it wound up being cut by a little-known artist named Alison Krauss. big fan of hers, and so that was like a highlight of my career. And then later on, I actually recorded it myself and put it on an album I made called Stupid Love. Mm-hmm. It's one of those songs I tend to write that sound. It sounds sad, but it is not sad, or it sounds happy, but it's sad. So that's sort of been my Gemini. Anyway, this song's called If I Didn't Know Any Better.
Turned around before I could run, I found you already settled down in the back of my mind. And I know this is just a customary fever. The moon is a deceiver that'll leave you running blind. Your heart is broken. Between love and desire, your heart is pulling. If I didn't know any better, I'd be falling deeper and deeper. It's true. I'd hear you calling. If I didn't know any better, I could run, I found you already settled down.
That's Mindy Smith with If I Didn't Know Any Better. She's my guest today in a JPR live session. Her latest album is Quiet Town, and she's on tour on the West Coast right now. You've probably have told this story way too many times, and you alluded to it earlier, but you kind of got a break doing Jolene. Tell us about all that, because it's just so cool.
It is wild. It's a wild story. I had actually been in Nashville for a few years, and I was very fortunate early on my younger days to kind of get in the publishing game early with that. But I'd been sort of, you know, creating songs and then cutting songs, like just demos. And, you know, nothing was taking. It was like one of these things where the executive would hear and they would love it. They would say, we love this, mm-hmm. but we don't know what to do with it. Huh. It's a different scene now, because there's a lot more there's a lot more places to put this kind of music.
Right.
But then I worked with a producer named Jason Lenning, and he had been dropping off the couple songs which is Kyle Lenning's son of another producer in Nashville. Anyway, he happened to leave the CD with a fellow named Steve Buckingham. And Buck works very closely with Dolly Parton. They were making this album. I get a phone call out of the blue. Do you want to make, hey, don't sign any record deals, but do you want to make do a song for this album I'm putting together, a tribute to Dolly Parton? And then he listed off like the other artists on the album, which were some of my heroes. Yeah. Alison Krauss being one of them, then Shania Twain and Shelby Lynn, and the list. I was like floored. I'm like, is this really happening? Is this a dream? And I tell him, I think about it. No, I didn't. I said, I would love to. And so sent over a list of songs to choose from. And I chose Jolene and worked up this little thing because I couldn't figure out how to play it. Because she has that sort of... Yeah. And so went in the recording studio, recorded it. And funny little thing that happened after that, when it was time to listen to the final mix. Okay. I turned up, you know, just kind of looking like I rolled out of bed, and in walks Dolly Parton, and she's decked to the nines. I think she said something to the effect of, well, honey, I don't go to the mailbox without getting, you know,
right.
dressed up. And so, I sat there and watched her listen to this song. It was so odd and amazing. And
yeah, that must have
she
been
had no idea what the song was when she started hearing. She leaned in and she goes, well, honey, you're going to make me rich and famous. And all I could think to say back to her is you have really high heels on. And she said, well, honey, even my slippers are stilettos. But after that, she sort of took me on a sort of a journey. And I had a, you know, front row seat and how she operated. And it was a nice little almost schooling, uh-huh. if you will.
What a story. I really like that. So when you were originally writing, so you were putting out demos and stuff, you were... you did want to then be a recording artist and a touring artist, not just a publisher. Is that?
Oh, absolutely. My whole goal was, because I love to sing. So I started learning how to write. I figured out that I had to have original songs. And when I lived in Knoxville, that's when I started writing original songs. And I didn't play the guitar, so I had to learn how to play the guitar. And so I would get up on the stage and just sing a cappella and hold my guitar. Because I was so afraid to play it in front of people. And eventually I was given an ultimatum, you know, you've got to play it. And then that was, but then I, you know, my whole thing was to want to be able to sing and, you know, have that experience with people.
Mm-hmm. And I'd read somewhere along the way, you kind of got some self-doubt issues going on. I think that happens with a lot of artists, but
yeah. Yeah. It's really annoying, actually. And it's annoying to people around me, like telling me to get out of my own head. And and so, yeah, I find myself digging. And I think, you know, I think there's a lot of people who can relate to this, and which is why I also write quite a bit about it. You know, you start to let those little devils in your head, you know, tell you, and you start to believe them until it's time to finally go, okay, the only way to figure something out is to just go out and do it, which, you know, this, a lot of this has to do with, you know, how I write songs too. It's like I'd forgotten, because I'd started doing so much co-writing, which is great. But I'd like, I don't know if I can write a song by myself. And then whenever we were in lockdown, I was back to, was like, okay, well,
you got nothing better to do.
And so that's what, you know, it sort of rejuvenated my desire to keep doing the artist thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know when the lockdown happened, I was like, we're going to get some interesting music coming out of the other side of this, because people who are normally on the road and really busy had nothing to do. So it's like, they're going to do what they do, which is write music.
You were right.
Yeah. Mindy Smith is my guest today in a JPR Live session. Her latest album is Quiet Town. We got time for another tune. What do you want to play?
The song's called Come to Jesus. Oh, my baby, when you're older, maybe then you'll understand. You have angels dance around your shoulders, 'cause at times in life you need a helping hand. Oh, my baby, when you're praying, leave your burden by my door. You have Jesus standing at your bedside to keep you calm, keep you safe away from harm. Jesus, let him hold you in his arms. Oh, my baby, when you're crying, never hide your face from me. I have conquered hell and driven out the demons. I have come with a light to set you free. Worry not, my daughters. Worry not, my sons. Child, when life don't seem worth a living, come to Jesus. Hold you in his arms. Hey, ooh. Hey, oh. Baby, when you're dying, name the healing of his hand. Here in heaven we will wait for your life. Here in heaven you
your arrival. Here in heaven, you will finally understand. Weren't I my daughter's? Weren't I my son's child? When life don't seem worth living, come to Jesus, let him hold you in his arms.
Very nice. That's Mindy Smith with Come to Jesus. Can you tell us a little about that song?
Yes. When I wrote that song, I was living in what I called, I'll be careful how I say it. It was not the nicest living situation. It was a one-bedroom studio apartment with a kitchen in the bedroom, you know, situation. You know, that's what you do.
Right.
And as I came home from a venue that I sort of just played and came in to get into my apartment, I was mugged. It was bad. It was not good. And I mean, I don't know why they targeted me. I lived in a you know, dumpy apartment. But needless to say, he got my bag and no money. But you know, just sort of kind of was at a really hard time. It was like the final straw, you know, one of those moments like, I just can't, you know, I don't know if I can keep doing this music thing. And so, you know, this song just came out of that, and it wound up being a really important song that I've just been able to share with folks and hear how it's, you know, affected and helped them. You know, it helped me through a really hard time. So it came from a really honest place,
right,
and a dark place. And I was really just almost had it. And so I'm thankful for that really big struggle in life. Sometimes they really do become blessings. And the song is one of them.
Well, you're on a solo tour right now, and you're headed north this week. How's it been out on the road since you've been on the West Coast about a week now?
Yes, it's been amazing. I've had such a great time, and everybody that's, you know, come out and hung out, and, you know, we've just had a blast, I think.
And what's coming up for 2025? What's on the horizon?
More of the same. You know, going to obviously continue to write, but we're just going to keep bringing this record around and sharing it with folks and seeing, you know, seeing people.
Well, you can find more about Mindy Smith at mindysmithmusic.com and find her on all the social platforms as well, with Mindy Smith Music, also on the socials too.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure getting to chat with you and hearing some great tunes. Good luck with the tour, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Dave.
I've been chatting with Mindy Smith in a JPR Live session. JPR Live sessions are made possible with support from the Talent Club, with live music and cold drinks in a casual atmosphere in downtown Talent, Oregon. Their live music schedule is available at talentclublive.com. JPR Live sessions are engineered by John Griffin of Luna's End Studios. I'm Dave Jackson. You can find this JPR Live session later at ijpr.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.